your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into Thursday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, July 9th, 2020. Your boy Q here with you. Today's episode is being brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, super low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. All you got to do is hit up RockAuto.com and tell them that Locked On Raiders podcast sent you. Coming up on today's show, segment number three, I got your calls and your texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That's the number. A lot of folks say, hey, Q, how can you tell us the number so much? Because a lot of folks still don't have the number. So 707-654-4693. Just because you hear it, sometimes you know you're not in a position to put it down or put it in your phone, keep track of it. And so I get hit up all the time on Twitter. Q, what's that number again? So I just kind of want to tell you that as much as possible, so maybe it gets stuck in your head like it's stuck in mine. Either way, that's coming up in segment number three. Segment number two, want to talk to you about, well, J.C. Treader. He is the head of the NFLPA. He's the president of the NFLPA, and I've been talking a lot about how the NFL and the NFLPA are not on the same page, and they're pretty upset by some of the things that the NFL is trying to get them to do. And look, we're less than 20 days away from the start of training camp, so these guys all need to be on the same page, and there's a lot of guys that, well, they just might not play in 2020. And so I'll let you hear some things that J.C. Treader had to say. He was on Golic and Wingo Wednesday morning on ESPN. And I just got some clips that I want you to hear, and I'll talk about them as well. But it's real serious when it comes to the NFL and the NFLPA and them not being on the same page. We saw the dust up with Major League Baseball, their PA, and also the Major League Baseball, the owners. So there could be potentially that issue going on with the NFL, and I'll talk about it in segment number two. Here in segment number one, I'll just give you the news and the notes of the day as I do on the daily. Pro Football Focus, it's kind of hit or miss at times. It's not always the end-all, be-all and tells you everything, but sometimes it does tell you what you need to know. And so I just saw this little stat. I saw it rolling around Twitter and thought it was kind of interesting from Pro Football Focus College. It's the stats on defensive backs in the Big Ten. Fewest receptions allowed among Big Ten cornerbacks with 50-plus targets. Number one, Jeffrey Okuda. He allowed 23 catches. Jeffrey Okuda went number three to the Detroit Lions in this past draft. Number two, well, Damon Arnett, his teammate, his college teammate, with 25 catches. So that's a pretty salty little secondary that Ohio State had, right? Jeffrey Okuda, 23 total catches allowed, and Damon Arnett only allowed 25. So two more catches. And, you know, there was a reason why Mike Mayock went out there and got him number 19 overall. A lot of people, including myself, did not see him as the defensive back that was on the radar. But that's the guy that they said that they really, really liked. And they said, you know what? They liked him as much as they liked Jeffrey Okuda. Now, I'll tell you, Jeffrey Okuda was the best defensive back in college football. No doubt about it. There's a reason why he went number three overall. I think the Detroit Lions got a dog. He's going to be that dude. But Damon Arnett has an opportunity. You know, he kind of has that ability or that feel to him as an old school Raider defensive back. So I'm excited to see what he brings to the table. Of course, that defense is going to have to improve in a major way, and he's going to have to end up being a long-term solution across from Trayvon Mullen, who also needs to improve in his second year. But Damon Arnett's going to be asked to take on a major role once he gets comfortable and he's able to get into that starting lineup. They picked him number 19 overall, so he should be in the starting lineup as soon as possible. But at the same time, they did bring in Prince Amakamura as a veteran guy that can just kind of slide in there and hold down the fort until Damon Arnett is ready. But thought I'd bring that stat to you. Pretty interesting. I will say that the one thing about both of those guys and them having the stats that they do, They also had Chase Young on the defensive line that was getting after the quarterback. So a good pass rush, and this is something that all Raider fans should know, a really good pass rush helps the guys on the back end in a major way. So not really a huge surprise that Jeffrey Okuda and Damon Arnette were so good in the Big Ten as far as defensive backs go, only allowing 23 and 25 catches respectfully because, again, they had a dog who went number two overall in Chase Young that was helping out on that defensive line. Now, Jalen Richard, Raiders running back, he tweeted out on Wednesday, "Tough decisions for me and my football brothers." This is kind of going to that conversation that I'm going to have in segment number two, talking about the NFL and the NFLPA. And there was word from CBS Sports that after several weeks of negotiations between the NFL and the NFLPA, it appears the two sides have come to an agreement on the idea of letting players opt out. According to NFL.com, the league and the union intend to give the players the option to sit out, which is potentially huge because it means that any player on any team could choose to skip the 2020 season without facing any sort of penalty, meaning a guy like Jalen Richard, who tweeted out, "Tough decisions for me and my football brothers." Now, CBS Sports goes on to say the opt-out could add an interesting twist to the season, especially if someone starting quarterback decides not to play. Under the plan developed by the NFL and the NFLPA, there really wouldn't be any strict guidelines with the opt-out. Any player who has a pre-existing condition would be allowed to sit out. Players who have family members with pre-existing conditions would be allowed to sit out. Also, any player who has any concerns about playing during a pandemic would also be allowed to sit out, which would open the door for just about any player in the league. Again, going back to Jalen Richard's tweet, "Tough decisions for me and my football brothers." Now, the one little side note to this is before the opt-out goes into effect, there are a lot of things that have to be figured out. CBS Sports says one big thing is when players would have to opt out by. What date would they have to opt out by? According to NFL.com, general managers around the league were told this week that the opt-out will come with a hard deadline. Although the date for that deadline hasn't been set, any player who wants to sit out 2020 would have to declare themselves out before that deadline. And then the other big question: how teams will handle the contract of any player who decides to sit out. One option would be to have the contract basically stay the same with everything moving forward 1 year. But no decisions have been made. Very, very interesting, and I caution you, Raider Nation, something to pay attention to for this season, this upcoming season, and hopefully everything in 2021 ends up going back to what we like to call as normal. But I'll tell you, man, there's going to be some players, and there may be some big-time players that decide they don't want to play, they don't want to risk it, and that could change the game for multiple teams in the league. Again, haven't heard about any players that are willing to sit out, but have heard players say, like Jalen Richard when he tweeted out, "Tough decisions for me and my football brothers." So it's something to pay attention to in a major way. And my final little piece of news or a nugget here in segment number one, the countdown is on to the completion date of Allegiant Stadium, at least the target completion date. 22 days away from today. It's supposed to be done by July 31st, and we are now 22 days away officially. So it's going to get here quick, fast, and in a hurry. Before you know, you're going to blink, and it's going to be July 31st, and either the stadium's going to be officially done and complete and done deal, or they're going to say, you know what? It's not quite ready yet. Got a couple weeks left. It looks pretty good from a distance, but I obviously have not been there. I have not been inside and toured it. I know that they've done some things where they turned all the lights on inside at night. They had the major flush where they made sure that all the plumbing was working. They've done a lot of things, but there's been conflicting reports. One report, Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, everything is on time, 98% complete. And then Las Vegas locally says, nah, it's no way it's going to get done on time. So we'll see. But the countdown is on, Raider Nation, 22 days away from today to see if Allegiant Stadium will be completed and completed on time. So that's what I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, J.C. Treader. He is the president of the NFLPA. He was on Golic and Wingo on Wednesday morning talking about what the NFLPA, how the actual players are feeling about this season, how they're feeling about what the NFL wants them to do, how they're feeling about training camp. He had a lot of good things to say, or a lot of informative things, let's say, and you'll hear those next. Before I get into that, though, I got to tell you about the title sponsor of today's show, and that's RockAuto.com. They're a family business. They've been serving auto part customers online for 20 years. You go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And they got everything. And I mean everything. Engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, oil, carpet. I mean, whatever you need, all you got to do is hit up rockauto.com and check it out. It's so easy to navigate through their website. Even a dummy like me can figure it out. So if I can figure it out, you definitely can figure out. All the parts are available for your vehicle, and you can choose the brands, specifications, and even more importantly, the prices that you prefer. Best of all, when you talk about prices at rockauto.com, they're always super low, and they're the exact same for professionals as they are for do-it-yourselfers. So you don't have to spend up to twice as much for the same stinking part. You get them at the cost that the professionals get them, and that is a great thing. rockauto.com. Go there right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On Raiders Podcast in their How Did You Hear About Us box. So that's how they know that I sent you, and they know that I'm doing my job. Amazing selection, super low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Here we are, Raider Nation. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, July 9th, 2020. And I want to talk now about what J.C. Treader, he used to be an offensive lineman for the Cleveland Browns. Now he's the president of the NFLPA. And I know this doesn't directly have to do with the Raiders, except for it does, because they are members. Obviously, all the players are members of the NFLPA, the Players Association. They are going to be represented by J.C. Treader and the rest of the organization as far as the leadership there. And right now, they have the voice, and they're communicating with the NFL on what they want to do, how they want practices to be ran, and how they want to deal with this pandemic. Because a lot of times, and I have to say I was guilty of it as well, we just kind of assume that, hey, if it's a go, if everyone says that you can play football, these players are going to go out there and play football because, well, that's what they do, right? Well, these guys have families. These guys have little ones on the way. These guys have their parents and their grandparents that live with them. You know, I mean, there's so many different circumstances that we don't really take into account too often. A lot of times we look at them and say, well, it's a football player. A football player is going to do what football players do, which is go play football. But these guys also have lives, and they got to worry about it. You know, who they're bringing home any kind of issue with. And when I mean issue, if they pick up COVID-19 at a game or practice or at the facility and bring it home to their, say, pregnant wife or wife that just gave birth to, you know, their baby, then all of a sudden they could be potentially exposing their baby to COVID-19. Or maybe their parents live with them. And a lot of parents do live with their kids. And the athletes have their parents or grandparents that stay in their house or in close proximity where they're taking care of them. That has to be considered. So J.C. Treader, he's been very vocal on Twitter, and he was really kind of firing some tweets out the other day, and the NFL really didn't respond. They've been going back and forth. I told you about the agreement that they had in segment number one, where they're talking about that there's going to be an opt-out. Some of these players are going to choose that they don't want to play in 2020, and they have an opportunity to opt out, and we haven't found out the final details on that. That's going to be very interesting, but there was a few things that he had to say, some interesting takeaways that I had, at least when I was listening to him on Golic and Wingo on Wednesday on ESPN Radio National. I was listening to that while I was on my way to the radio station, on my way to work. It was super early in the morning, about 6:30 Central Time. And so that's, 4:30 on the West Coast and 7:30 on the East Coast. But either way, he was on there talking about multiple different things. And I took away a lot of different audio clips from it, but I'm not going to play the whole thing. I'm just not going to do it. But there's some stuff that I thought, stood out that I thought I would play right here. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. One of them, I'm going to say, because it really has to do a lot with the Raiders. The Raiders right now are currently, a lot of them, led by Derek Carr, and there's multiple players that are out in the park in Las Vegas, and they're holding group practices right now. And if you remember, I said a couple weeks ago that the NFLPA put out that message saying, hey, we don't want anyone to do that. You know, if you're out there in the park, stop doing that. We want to make sure that you get to a facility when the facilities open up and you're safe and you're healthy and you can be in a controlled environment. So the NFLPA really discouraged players from doing that. Well, not right after they did that, we saw Tom Brady and Gronk. They were out there working. And look, the Raiders, they continue to put in work. So this clip right here is J.C. Treader on players holding group practice at a local park, similar to what the Raiders are doing there in Vegas. What are his thoughts and the NFLPA's thoughts on those group practices?
We want our guys to be safe, and we want our guys to stay healthy, and that's always our focus. And that's why we kind of put out that recommendation, is to get guys to make the right decisions. And we see what's going on in the country right now with huge spikes in the numbers. And going along with that, this isn't, the way the country goes is going to be how football goes too. We don't live in a bubble. We're not outside the realm of what goes on in the world. So, huge spikes in the community could shut us down as well. And we don't want to see that. And it's unfortunate that this has become some sort of political issue. This is, you know, this isn't one. And, you know, wear a mask, socially distance. If you want to see football and all sports come back, we need, you know, the community's help in doing that and making the right decision.
So there was J.C. Treader right there talking about why the NFLPA put out that note to say, hey, stop doing that. And look, I'm not going to lie, I'm with them 100%. I really am. I don't think it's a good idea that they continue to hold those practices. And I know a lot of fans will look at it and say, no, but that's good leadership. They're all getting on the same page. They're practicing. That means that they're all bought in. All that is true. But at the same time, what does it matter if you're not healthy? What does it matter if you get to training camp at the end of the month and you're not healthy and you got to sit out a couple weeks? How good is that going to do? Is that going to help the team move forward? No, not really. It's not going to help them at all. It's going to actually set them back. And just like you heard JC say right there, you know, not only do they need to think about themselves, they need to think about the rest of the community as well. This is not just an NFL thing or a professional sports thing. This is a country, well, it's a worldwide thing, but it's you know, it's all about keeping the communities and the country safe, you know, and secure. And they're in Vegas. It's a hotbed as well. It's a super hotbed in Texas where I'm at, but I mean, it's a super hotbed in Vegas as well, just like California and where all these other guys are holding these practices. So I'm with JC there. I think that they should shut it down and just wait until they get to training camp at the end of the month. So at least they're at the same facility. They can be tested and they kind of have a way to almost control it. You're not going to be able to control it completely. There's going to be breakouts on every single team, including the Raiders, but again, you got to try to do your best to do your part and not, you know, not go out there and be reckless. Even though I know they're trying to put in work, you don't want to be reckless, not at this stage of the game. Another little quote that I want you to hear from J.C. Treader when he was on Golic and Wingo on Wednesday was, what is the NFLPA, how do they feel about the NFL's plan for training camp and preseason? Very, very interesting. We all know that preseason has been talked about getting cut down to 2 games. Well, the NFLPA doesn't want 2 games. I mentioned it the other day that they don't want any games, and J.C. Treader is going to tell you why. Check it out.
There's really 2 parts to this. There's the preseason games, and then there's a training camp schedule. So the preseason games, we just want a medical reason why it makes sense to do that this year and to fly around on games that don't count in the standings. That's why our board of reps unanimously voted that we shouldn't have preseason games this year. Because we're focused on trying to get through the whole season. And by not having preseason games, it moves us to that training camp schedule. And we saw this coming out of the lockout. We saw huge spikes in injuries when guys came back and went right back into football activity coming off of a long layoff. And I would argue that we are in a worse spot physically than we were out of the lockout, because though in both situations team facilities were shut down, this year – private gyms were also shut down for a period of time. So guys weren't able to train like they were even in that year that we saw the injury spikes. And coming out of lockout, we saw a 25% jump in injuries, 44% jump in hamstring strains, and double the amount of Achilles injuries. And when we talk about Achilles injuries, those are potentially career-ending injuries. And I don't think player safety and making sure guys come back healthy and don't get hurt in training camp is just should just be a union issue that we care about. You know, obviously the union doesn't want guys to get hurt, but fans don't want to see their favorite players and their star players go down in a training camp injury that makes them miss the entire season. And teams shouldn't either for that exact same reason.
So there's JC right there, and he's talking about more injuries. He's talking about injuries that are potentially career-ending or else season-ending injuries, the big-time ones, the ones that they saw in the lockout. And he said that this is a different situation than even the lockout, because even at least at the lockout, everyone was able to gather together and work out, like similarly like to what the Raiders are doing in the park right now in Vegas, and it was safe. Where it's not safe right now, it was safe to do that and be able to get your workout on. So they were good, and they still had a big, huge amount of injuries. So again, that's why the NFLPA voted and wanted to have no preseason games. So the final clip that I want to play here for you is from J.C. Treader talking about what an ideal situation as far as the players are concerned that would make them comfortable to get ready for the season opener. Here he is.
We've had a joint committee of experts kind of walk through this, and we tasked them with, you know, if we come back, and you have to expect some guys are in worse physical shape than usual, so take guys back from zero up to game speed, and what do they need? And the experts advised a 21-day gradual ramp up of strength and conditioning and running and kind of getting your body ready to cut and make those moves without risking pulls and strains. Then a 10-day ramp up of physical activity on the field, kind of like OTAs look, non-padded. And then you dive into 14 days of padded practices and get those, get your body right on a physical contact acclimation period and build your body that way. And this year has to look different. It has to work differently in order to make this work.
So there it is. That's the final clip from J.C. Treader. He was on Golic and Wingo on Wednesday morning. I just wanted you to hear those. And right there, you hear that they have a plan, and they said that they went to experts to get this plan of a slow ramp up. They're not trying to just jump right into the water, jump into the deep end, and be ready to rock and roll. They want to slowly ramp up and basically end it with 14 days of padded practice, and then they think that that's going to be ideal enough to get them into the regular season. I shared that audio with my co-host on Unnecessary Roughness, Ward Whites, a former coach. He's old school, and he said, hey man, you're not going to be able to get your reps. You won't be able to get your reps if you just do a padded practice, because we all know coaches always get mad and say, hey, don't take them to the ground. Don't do this. Don't go 100% at our guys. So he suggested a scrimmage. Scrimmages like similar to what the Raiders did against the Rams last season. You know, that's when Gabe Jackson got hurt, when they had a scrimmage. Instead of preseason games, just do joint scrimmages. You can get a lot out of that. You can get a lot of practice. Plus, you're going up against someone in a different color jersey and a different helmet than yours. And that could really help them get the work in that they need. But I'll tell you right now, Raider Nation, it is only July 9th. There's less than 20 days before training camp. This is going to get uglier before it gets better. And the to-do and all the ugliness that we saw with Major League Baseball and the Major League Baseball PA and how we were all talking bad and they were throwing mud at each other, that has the potential. I have a little bit more faith in the NFL and the NFLPA than I do in Major League Baseball, but it has the potential to get just as ugly. So this is something that, as much as we care about what each individual team is doing, and of course here on the Locked On Raider podcast, we care about what the Raiders are doing, this is a joint thing. This is something that could be throughout the whole league and something that definitely needs to be monitored. So that's what I got for you today here in segment number two. Coming up in segment number three, your thoughts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. It is your time to shine. Your calls and your texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's jump right into it with a text from Raider Sal from Albuquerque. I believe he's from Albuquerque. But before I get into his text, you know I got to sound the alarm one time. Raider Sal from Albuquerque is a new booty. And he says, hey, Q, this is Raider Sal from the ABQ. And yes, I'm a new booty. Catching up on the podcast and just heard that at some point you get fed up. Though I come here for Raider content, I also enjoy your stories and jokes about any subject. You put passion in all that you do and keep it real in your opinions, even though many may differ. We feel your frustration with the lack of common sense these days and support you 100. Keep up the great work. Black Lives Matter. That's from Raider Sal from Albuquerque. He's a new booty. Appreciate you, my man. Appreciate you, my man. And again, appreciate you. You know, sometimes you just got to speak on some things. And I feel really comfortable, and I feel pretty happy that, you know, things that we weren't able to speak about on the radio or on podcasts or even put out on Twitter because there'd be so much backlash. Times are changing and we could have open discussions. And like you said, you don't always have to agree with me. And that's the one thing that you'll always get from me. We can disagree until we're blue in the face. But it doesn't mean that I have a lack of respect for you. And it doesn't mean that, well, you have a lack of respect for me. We can still walk away from a conversation and respect each other. We just don't agree. And that's how it'll always be here on this podcast. And the minute that it's not is the minute that the conversation will go away or something else will go away as soon as it gets disrespectful. So I definitely appreciate you reaching out with that text. Next up is a call from DJ in the 909 asking about Jadeveon Clowney and Jamal Adams. If I had to pick one or the other, who would I go with? Here he is, DJ in the 909.
Thank you, DJ from the 909. Just finished listening to Tuesday's podcast. And this is a question I got for you. Obviously, if it came down to it, we couldn't get both Jadeveon Clowney and Jamal Adams. So if you had to choose one, who would you go with specifically? Me, I would choose Jamal Adams because I believe that with all the young Bucks that we have on that line that we don't need to bring in Jadeveon Clowney if we have to choose one. Now, our back end of our defense is very questionable. Like I said, everybody's high on John Abram. We haven't seen anything, so he's a question mark. Demarius Randle, I'm assuming, is going to be the starter. He's still questionable. He's been okay in Cleveland, but he had his down years, and then obviously Green Bay let him go. And I believe Green Bay were the ones that drafted him. So I feel like if it comes down to it, I'd rather go ahead and just fork up that first and third round pick for Jamal Adams, assuming that, you know, New York would take it and, you know, Mike Mayock and company would, you know, put it out there. It just makes more sense to go that route. Because the other thing you have to consider is, okay, yeah, Derek Carr still has 2 years remaining on his deal, but we could still draft a quarterback in 2022, if I'm not mistaken. Draft a quarterback in 2022, and maybe, you know, if Derek Carr doesn't do well, we just, you know, keep Mariota around for another year or two and just pay him. And still have whatever rookie quarterback that we draft can just sit behind Mariota for, you know, like a year or two, and then just throw him into the fire. All right, Q. All right, Raider Nation. DJ out.
DJ, thank you for that call, my man. And yeah, if it had to come down to either Adams or Clowney, if it was either or, I would definitely pick Adams. You know what I mean? Because one, he's a young dude. You know what he brings to the table. He's been consistent his whole career. He's not injury prone. And that's why I would go with Adams. But then again, Clowney would be a better deal because you're not trading for him. You're just paying him. But I have so much respect for Jamal Adams, and he's such a dog. He's young, again, durable. I definitely would go with him if I had to pick either or. But again, Clowney would probably be the better deal, especially if you get him on a one-year prove-it deal, and you try to beef up and bolster that defensive line. Again, it'll make the secondary that much better, just having another dog along the defensive line. And we saw how that worked. San Francisco had all kind of talent on that defensive line, and that got him all the way to the Super Bowl. Now, they didn't finish and seal the deal, but they got damn close. You know, they were about 10 minutes away from hoisting another Lombardi trophy. And then, well, Patrick Mahomes became Patrick Mahomes, and the rest is history. So thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Got another call. Let's go back to back on the calls. How about Raider Loke in the 626? He's calling in to talk about Jadeveon Clowney and what he thinks about the Raiders potentially signing him. Here he is, Raider Loke in the 626.
What is up, Q and the rest of Raider Nation? This is Raider Loke from the 626. Just got done listening to today's podcast in regards to the Jadeveon Clowney and Q. I agree with you 100%. 1 year, $15 million, you know, for Clowney would be my go-to contract. You know, I would try to avoid a multi-year contract, I completely agree with, because, you know, he hasn't really put it all together. You know, it's a one-year prove-it deal. And, you know, like you mentioned, you know, the base salary will be low since our cap space isn't really that, you know, all that great right now. But, you know, with those, maybe they'll apply some signing bonuses along with some incentives. And those incentives could probably motivate the dude, you know, depending on how many stats he gets per, you know, per the year or per game, et cetera, you know. So maybe that will motivate him. I mean, it's kind of like you mentioned about Jamal Adams coming to Vegas, you know. He'll probably get some deals, some advertising deals and all that, with which will boost up his value as far as him getting money, you know, coming to, making a move to Vegas. And, I mean, who wouldn't want that, you know? I mean, not only that, but, you know, the state tax, you know, with Vegas, you know, that's another incentive right there. But, you know, it's just funny to me. This is just another fan theory, you know, kind of funny theory. It's just, you know, when I know you mentioned that maybe Rob Marinelli, you know, is the one maybe trying to push Gruden to get Jadeveon Clowney because, man, I mean, I know Nick from Jersey mentioned it, how we got four positions, you know, at the end, at the tackle, so the rotation will be perfect. Well, man, adding Jadeveon Clowney could make our trenches that much greater. And, you know, with Patrick Mahomes twice a year, we could probably lock him down before we meet up in the playoffs. And, you know, because that's my prediction. You know, if we happen to meet them, we know playoffs or buses for me. So you never know if we'll meet them in the playoffs. But just a little funny fan theory, in my opinion. You know, it's funny how Gruden is pounding the table for Jadeveon Clowney, who went first overall in the same draft class as Khalil Mack. So maybe he's just like trying to, you know, he sees the potential that this D could be great. And, you know, maybe he's just trying to stick it to Khalil Mack and lift on Lombardi and say, you know what, Mack? I mean, you accepted that contract and not try to get $2 to $3 million more on top of what we offered you. So just my thoughts on that, Q. You know, if it happens, it happens. And I'll be ecstatic if it does. But if it doesn't, you know, I'll still be, you know, ecstatic about this team going forward. This is Raider Loke, and I'm out.
Raider Loke, thank you for your call, my man. I appreciate you. And, you know, I can't say I know the motivation 100% behind what Gruden wanting Jadeveon Clowney on the roster, besides the fact that he knows the defense is the Raiders' Achilles heel. And that's just me assuming. That's just me going with my gut feeling. We all know as fans that the Raiders have to find a way to slow down the Chiefs. They have weapons. They have weapons. They have weapons. You're not just going to be able to try to, you know, outshoot them. You're just not. You know what I mean? That doesn't work very well for many teams. You're going to have to find a way to slow them down, so that defense has got to get better. You're going to have to, like Al Davis used to say, you got to hit the quarterback and you got to hit him hard. So that's a reason to have Jadeveon Clowney. I think Rod Marinelli probably had a lot to do with it. But again, at the same time, who knows if it's going to happen? Who knows how serious they really are about it? You know, the report came from a guy out of Denver, and I'm not trying to discredit him, but he is a guy in Denver. You know, so take that for what it's worth. But I feel like he's probably going to end up with the Seahawks. And if he does, I'm like you. You know, that's fine if he goes to another team. If he ends up in Las Vegas with the Raiders, that's cool too. You know, but as long as he's ready to go to work, he's going to have to prove it. Again, I wouldn't give him any kind of big-time money. I wouldn't give him a big long-term deal. It's got to be something that is, you know, something that is team-friendly and make him go out there and bust his tail. So thank you so much for that call. Appreciate you. Next up is a text. Riverview Raider. Q, what's up, buddy? It's the Riverview Raider out of Riverview, Florida. Bro, I missed you on Monday. I was lost. Just wanted to let you know that I just recently moved to Florida from Northern Cal, and man, it's crazy. Raider Nation is deep here in Florida. I see Raider fans on the daily. Also, I'm in on Clowney. If it's an incentive-based deal, otherwise, just let Seattle have him so he can keep chasing Garoppolo around, because no one in the nation likes the 49ers. Also, great interview with MJ Acosta. She made me feel good when she said she hopes that everyone takes the time to reflect, research, and educate themselves with all this downtime, because I have. It's not that I didn't care. I just didn't take time to pay attention. Well, guess what? Your platform is working. You got my attention and hopefully a lot of others. Like I said, man, great work. That's from Riverview Raider. Thank you so much, my man. That's really the best compliment I could ever hear. I mean, that's really, really awesome. Definitely appreciate that. And, yeah, as far as Jadeveon Clowney goes, again, it's got to be, a like you said, incentive-based deal. You know, it's got to be a prove-it deal. You just can't go and give him the bag because he has a name. He's got to go out there and earn it. And I think that's what, if the Raiders were going to do it, I think that's what they're going to do. But we will see. We've been wrong before, right? So thank you for that. I definitely appreciate you. And the final text comes from my man Jeff, and he says, "Morning, Q. Upon further review, I think Ocho Cinco was doing a workout with the Raider players, not a tryout with the team. He looked like he's on the same field as Carr and the others. Recent video shows Aguilar out there with his Eagles helmet, since he doesn't have a Raiders gear yet. LOL. But in that note, I have listened to multiple podcasts that go over the roster, and when they talk about the wide receiver room, they all leave out Aguilar. Do you think that they're overlooking him, or is he just an afterthought? Again, it's from my guy, Jeff." That's funny. Ocho Cinco still has me blocked on Twitter, which I don't understand why. That's cool. I didn't think he was trying out. I know a spokesman for the Raiders said that they had no idea about Ocho Cinco trying out for the team, and I think you're right, just working out with the team, if anything. Maybe working out with Trayvon Mullen. That's fine. And, yeah, I broke down the wide receiver room and I forgot about Nelson Aguilar because honestly, I don't think he makes the squad. And if he does make the squad, this will be the asterisk I put out there. If he does make the squad, he'll make it because of special teams, in my opinion. I just don't see him being a guy that's going to be a threat as a wide receiver. He puts too many balls on the ground, and that's just what, well, that's what the Raiders and Derek Carr have dealt with for far too long. You need guys with sure hands. So I don't see Nelson Aguilar getting a lot of burn from the wide receiver position. I could see him being maybe a return guy, maybe a guy who returns some punts, maybe some kicks, but I'd be shocked, honestly, if he makes this team. And, you know, with that being said, he'll probably make the team and have a hell of a season just because I said he wouldn't. But again, that's the chance that I'm willing to take because I just don't see that happening. But either way, I appreciate you reaching out and passing that message along about Ocho Cinco. Again, I don't know why he has me blocked. I don't know what I did or how I offended him, but I guess I did. So it is what it is. That's all I got for you today. I don't know if you noticed, but I tried to keep the show nice and tight. Definitely got another one of them emails, so I'm trying to tighten things up a little bit. So just understand and rock with your boy. And yeah, we'll do everything we can to make sure that the powers of B are happy and we still get the same message and the same quality delivered on the daily here on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we'll finish off the week really strong. I'm going to have my buddy, Bonte Hill from 95.7 The Game. He's going to be on the show. We'll be talking all things Raiders. He put out a tweet the other day about Charles Woodson. Is he really a top five Oakland Raider? And I responded to him, and It kind of caught fire, and so we're going to have a conversation. That'll be on tomorrow's show. We'll talk some Raiders, get his thoughts. He's a good dude. He'll be on the show. So you can look forward to that on Friday, finishing off the week really, really strong, special guest edition. Now that you're done with this episode, you can tell your smart device to play the latest edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Show, and we'll be back again on Friday. Until then, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.